Welcome to the fourth episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Delaney. For those of you listening for the first time, I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Today I have an interview with a running buddy of mine, Jennifer Kaczynski. Jennifer is a registered nurse and a marathon runner. She's also transformed herself into a plant-based athlete over the last couple of years. So we'll be discussing her transition and her plant-based journey, as well as some of the obstacles that she's encountered along the way. Since my last podcast, I finished the Chattanooga Ironman. It was my second Ironman. Again, it was located in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The swim was 2.4 miles along the Tennessee River, and the bike was a record 114-mile into Georgia, followed by the traditional 26.2 miles of running along the river in downtown Chattanooga. Although the bike was longer than any other standard Ironman that's usually 112, the swim was downstream, so we kind of caught a break on the swim to make up for the extra bike ride. It was my first time in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and it was quite plant-based friendly. We ate in a vegetarian restaurant called Sluggo's a couple days before the race and had great vegetarian fare. Even at the expo, they had samples of chia pod, which is a new chia pudding that's being put out, and some vegan sorbets. On the race course, the official nutrition bar was the Bonk Bar, which is also vegan, so that made it nice. As far as the race went, I felt pretty good. I had an excellent swim. Of course, it was downstream, so we all had an extra advantage there. I felt good on the bike. I thought my nutrition was adequate. Perhaps I took in too much. I
haven't spoken for quite some time. I think we saw you on a bike ride, and you were running a few weeks ago. So you're training for
The Space Coast Marathon at the end of November.
Perfect.
And the weekend after Thanksgiving.
And you ran it last year as well, right?
Yes, I did. Perfect. Yes, I did. It's a nice run. Good community vibes out of that one.
Yeah, that's definitely on my bucket list. Addie is always coming back from college, and I'm always taking her back to the airport, it seems like, on that weekend. So I've never quite made it. So since maybe this is her last year in West Virginia, I might get to make it next year, huh? Maybe we'll all do it.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be great. I think running with friends is over half the reason to run.
Yeah, absolutely.
And everybody is, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Everybody in Cocoa Beach for this run is just so supportive, and it's just such a cool vibe running through there. It's one of my favorite runs.
Is it flat for the most part? Are there any rolling hills?
Absolutely not, which is the beautiful thing. Flat as a pancake.
Good deal. So remind me, you and I have been doing some intermittent long runs for a couple years. When did you turn plant-based vegan, so to speak?
I think right before my very first marathon, because we started to run together and you inadvertently, unknowingly, I was using you as my coach. And I think it was then we started to talk, and I started to listen, and I gave up meat for Lent, and I told you, well, that was all well and good, but I wasn't giving up fish. And you very patiently said, oh, okay, and you just kept talking, and it wasn't long after that that I gave up fish and became completely plant-based.
Very cool.
And it was all listening to you talk.
So, and you, Chris, did Chris give up meat for Lent that year as well, your husband, or it was just you?
Oh, you know what? I don't think he did. Although I would say that now he is probably 80 to 90% almost plant-based now.
Very cool. Yeah,
he's really good. Yeah,
he was kicking and screaming there for a little bit. So basically, you gave up meat for Lent, and then you just kind of, you know, one step at a time. We've talked about your recovery room nurse. How did that go as far as the hospital and making that transition? Did you bring your own lunch? Could you find anything in the hospital that you work at, or how'd that go for as far as your eating goes?
You have to get used to packing your own lunch. The hospital, ironically, is not diet friendly. Even the vegetables they have are like loaded with butter, and most of their dressings have a lot of oil or milk in them, or butter even. And they're just, unless you want to be on a total salad diet, it's not very friendly at all, especially as you and I do, which a lot of times is long nights on call. The only thing for you to eat is graham crackers and those little teeny tubs of peanut butter that have a nice little line of oil over the top of them. So yeah, my lunch box definitely got bigger.
Yeah, I think
you have to plan in it.
I think when we first started talking, you were hungry a lot because you didn't realize. I mean, you're for the listeners out there, you're a small woman, but you were hungry and just wasn't sure that it was going to work because you weren't getting enough calories in.
Oh, I was continually starved, and being at the hospital, you hit the nail on the head. It was extremely hard to find snacks if I didn't lay in a supply for myself. Fortunately, at that time, I worked with some girls who were very much, they weren't plant-based, but they were into healthy eating. And so they'd say, oh, look, Jen, I brought this. It doesn't have any animal products in. So I would be getting into their food all the time. And at home, too, at first it was very frustrating trying to find things to snack on that would fill me up. Since I started reading, go ahead.
Well, yeah, did you find that the overall quantity of food that you needed to eat had increased?
Absolutely. And my saving grace was that you and I, for a short time, were trading recipes on vegan energy bars. And I would get those and freeze them and take a couple of them. And as my husband says, they sit like concrete. But I found that they didn't sit like concrete, but they gave my body enough for the rest of the afternoon where I wasn't continually thinking, what am I going to eat next? And making bad choices like a soda or a whole can of nuts or something like that, or the bad peanut butter. So, yeah. That still is a little bit frustrating. There just really isn't that much of an option for snacks out there. Unless you are making your own and creating your own, there really aren't that even many recipes out there to feed off of so that you can make something that's going to stick to your ribs.
Are you much of a fruit eater?
I have gotten it. Since I got an Esselstyn cookbook, I have been much more of a fruit eater, and I found that my choices as far as breakfast went were not that filling. I started eating their, what I call a Jethro bowl of oatmeal with raisins and blueberries and bananas and a little bit of almond milk. I eat that, and I'll eat part of it for breakfast, and then I put the rest in the tubby, take it for a snack, and I am totally good till lunch.
Yeah, I think it just becomes getting used to quantities, and again, you know, being a smaller person, used to eating smaller quantities, you didn't realize just how much, you know, because the caloric density is not there, that you actually need the, you need the calories, especially when you're, you know, you're on a job that's moving and you've ran and already and everything else. Now, you grew up in the Midwest. I can't remember, big family, small family? Was your mom a cook? Did you guys eat out? How did that go?
Smaller family, and it was a lot of convenience stuff. I mean, for us, a treat was when my mom used to get those, remember those little banquet TV dinners with the mashed potatoes in them? That was like our treat. And we just, you know, mom cooked, but, you know, typical Midwestern fare. Chris is from a more Polish family. Lots of fat, lots of meat. I still have my grinder up in the pantry that I used to make my own sausage with.
Funny.
So that's what kind of a background we from. Yeah. I don't know why I haven't gotten rid of it, but I just haven't yet.
Well, there's probably some plants you could grind up, maybe pumpkins or something, huh?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But yeah, we were very much, you went to a wedding on Chris's side, and it was the Plutsky noodles loaded in chicken broth and butter and green beans in butter and fried chicken and Polish sausage. And that was like considered wonderful where we were from. So, you know, and the pierogi. It was, whereas my family was mostly non-ethnic, his was very Polish comfort food in origin. So
what does his family say when you showed up at the wedding and you were picking at the lettuce, and or if there was any lettuce, you know, picking at a few vegetables? What was their response?
Actually, they didn't say too much. Chris recently told me that his mother had said to him, you know, what, you don't like my cooking anymore. And he told her, I was very proud of him, he said, it's not your cooking, it's the garbage that they're putting into the food now that makes it so unhealthy for you. That's why we're eating this way now. So he totally backed me up on it. But it does get hard when you go to a wedding and you're starved and there's nothing there. You can literally nothing you can eat. You learn to eat before you go.
Yeah.
I made a mistake one time of trying to drink my calories, and that didn't go over so well either.
So about 30 minutes later, you're ready to go again.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's one thing that, you know, Dr. Esselstyn, especially people that are trying to, you know, lose or control weight, you know, you can put a lot of calories into a smoothie, but if you were to eat the apple and the banana and the pear and the
kale, it would fill you up a lot more.
So you were talking about you do your big Jethro bowl of oatmeal for breakfast.
Yes, with blueberries and bananas and raisins and chia seeds. And the reason I like Esselstyn's cookbook better is because she's showing different ways to incorporate much more fruit and vegetables than I was doing. And it seems to keep me full longer.
Yeah, I think that is key. I've actually tried several of her recipes, and they're good. And you'll have to try the oatmeal waffles. They work out really good, too.
Already tried them. They're delicious.
Yeah, I think they're better. I think they're much better than regular flour waffles.
Yes, I really like them a lot. Tried the applesauce on it, but the consistency wasn't that good. Next time I'll put blueberries on it.
Fair.
So, but yeah, everything was really good.
Yeah, We were talking also about, you know, Chris's Polish heritage. And, you know, I know he cooks a good bit. And even though he hasn't become 100% plant-based, he seems to be enjoying converting traditional Polish recipes and other recipes that he finds in a vegetarian magazine into completely vegan plant-based recipes.
Yes, he's always been really good at cooking off the shelf, you know, just grabbing different spices and different ingredients. And he's honed in that skill so that he wouldn't have to cook two dinners if I got home late. And he has been able to successfully convert almost every recipe that he's found into a plant-based recipe that's very, very good. And it's given a lot of variety. So I think it's really important. I've had other people at work tell me that their spouses or their significant others or their family would never go for it. And I can't imagine having to go that road alone with absolutely no support. It's got to be 20 times harder.
Yeah, I think it is. That is where the key. I actually have started a wellness class in the office that's an hour every other Wednesday, and I've invited the spouses to come in for the class just so they can get an idea. And so we've only had two so far, but they seem to be, you know, a big success, and people that thought they couldn't do it are starting to get ideas, and just the support of other people going through the same thing seems to be huge as far as comparing recipes. So I kind of start one and then have them, you know, chime in and say what they did, and people are starting to share. So it's quite fun. I mean, the hour just flies by. I'm really enjoying them.
It really does make a huge difference. Having you so close where I can call you on the phone and say, you know, have you tried this recipe? What can I do for this? Or going to one of the plant-based foodies groups that you host and finding other like-minded people is so important. It gives you so many more ideas, and it makes you feel like you're not so alone for those times when you do say something to somebody and they say, oh, why would you do that, with very much disdain in their voice. So that's extremely, that's key.
Have you noticed a difference in your health or the frequencies of colds or aches or pains or recoveries from your run since going plant-based?
Completely. Recovery time is much shortened, and about the time I met you, I didn't know if I was going to be able to do any more long runs because I was having frequent outbreaks of irritable bowel syndrome. And after I started running with you and converting over to a plant-based diet, those outbreaks are non-existent. So, you know, I really think for health, it's really the way to go. You see so many people that don't take their own wellness into hand and just say, oh, I could never do that. And as Esselstyn says, you can put yourself on a table and have them crack open your chest. Or you can drive a little jazzy around Walmart and reach for the Oreos. But you can't adopt a plant-based diet to make you feel better. I think a lot more education for the public is really, really needed. A lot more physicians that address the root cause of the patient's illness instead of just giving them another pill. You know, change their diet instead of giving them another fiber pill or a cholesterol drug. The new Crestor commercial has an overweight man that needs to have his cholesterol checked and put on Crestor because he can't control it. And that sends the complete wrong idea to the public, I think. And I know you've probably seen that a lot, too, in what you do in cardiology.
Yeah, absolutely. And the bottom line is, too, just treating the number is not addressing the problem. You know, Dr. Esselstein gives a wonderful lecture looking at, it's not really the cholesterol. It's the damage that we do to the lining or the endothelium of the blood vessel wall and the lack of nitric oxide. But I think what's really even more impressive to me is, you know, the orthopedic problems that we see, not only just from structurally people being overweight, but the decreased blood flow to the vertebral bodies from diseased blood vessels is a huge cause of degenerative disc disease, which nobody talks about. And the inflammation in the joints from, you know, the breakdown of animal protein into arachidonic acid, which is, you know, which is terribly inflammatory, nobody talks about. And if, you know, if people could, there's so many things that would be benefited if we could just, you know, get people to do more plant-based. And I've got to the point where it's like, you know, give it 4 weeks, give it 6 weeks, and, you know, what do you have to lose, you know? But it's a lifestyle that becomes, you know, people want to go out to eat and they're afraid their friends will shun them and on and on and on. Has your social life suffered because of being plant-based? Are you still heart rate training? Are you still heart rate training?
I was, and I'm not anymore because, you know, my heart rate was always up too high, higher than it was supposed to be according to the books, but I was entirely comfortable. So I think it was more a lack of not knowing what to do with my information that stopped me from doing it.
Have you done a 5K lately for a maximum heart rate?
No, but I had Chris take me out to the track, and we found it that way because I did it how one of the books said that you do. You run all out, then you stop, then you walk a little bit, then you run all out for so many minutes, then you stop. And then, like, on the third or fourth time of running all out, that's when you achieve your maximum heart rate.
Yeah, good.
So that's... we did that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think that, yeah, that's a equally good way to figure out your max and then to find your zones from there. You know, I find myself, I'm one of those gray zone runners that I don't run hard enough a lot of times and I don't run easy enough a lot of times. And so I get trained in that funky zone in the middle and I think it ends up hurting me. I noticed it, during the Ironman here, last weekend.
Congratulations, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was happy to finish. The swim went well. The bike went well. The run, I could not take in the goo again. Too many calories. I couldn't get in the calories, and by that time, I was burning through more than I could take in, and you know, it just really slowed me down and kind of took the toll, and it, you know, became a very slow marathon. But, you know, I felt okay, and I was happy when I finished, so, you know, it's all good. But I think, you know, back to the drawing board, my plan is to try to become a more efficient fat burner. And I've been talking to some people, and, you know, again, certain ways of training where you kind of train, you know, at a higher heart rate, and then, you know, a lot of lower heart rate stuff training. And then training without food, trying to get my gut to, you know, burn fat. I'm not sure whether, I hate to give genetics any credit for anything, but I do think I am genetically predisposed to diabetes if I were to become overweight. And I think that I do, I'm not an efficient fat burner. I burn sugar. You know, I always have relied on, you know, sugar to fuel my workouts. And I thought I was getting better at it, but it seems like once I give my body sugar, then it just, that's all it wants.
And, right. I think you're probably, if you start doing that, let me in on it and call me for a few runs because maybe you can help me.
Yeah, so
I
have an interview coming up with, albeit younger fella, that is, you're going to love it. He is... a guy that was a football player down in Louisiana that was an offensive line guy that became really overweight, just his whole family, just the lifestyle of that area, and has lost a bunch of weight, and he's now a marathoner runner. And I've, you know, kind of, we've become, since I heard him interviewed on Rich Roll, I've become a fan of his, and, you know, we've kind of went back and forth on Facebook a little bit, and he is trying that method to increase his fat burning while running. So I'm kind of following along what he's doing and been trying to look up some various things on my own. So I'll let you know how that process works. I think that's the...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think also that's one of the fun things about, you know, this endurance training, marathons and Ironmans is your own little chemistry experiment with your body, trying to see how you can achieve different levels.
Speaking of fat burning, do you think I was trying to cut out almost all of my fat this week? And I was pretty successful at it. And maybe that abrupt change had something to do with me bonking today?
That, or maybe a caloric, you know, when you decrease the processed oils or the fat in your diet, you're really decreasing your caloric intake a whole lot. I noticed that when I cut out all the cooking oils and really became conscious of the fat in my diet, that my weight did drop. You know, and it wasn't that I was hungrier, just, I think it was just, you know, less calories. So you probably did have less calories this week, which may actually have contributed that kind of converting over type of deal.
I bet you're right, because the only things I had in it were with fat this week, where I forgot breakfast one week and I ate a pre-made energy bar, and I had, I don't know, just a little thing of peanut butter. And last night I put a tiny bit of olive oil on my pizza. That was the only things I had with fat in it this week. So I bet you're absolutely correct.
Yeah, it's, you know, it does take a while to, you know, to kind of adjust to it. But I think in the long run, that's so much better. I also anxious to talk to some people about, you know, after the Ironman, when you went through the finishers shoot area, they had Domino's pizza, cheese pizza. And it's like, oh my goodness, how anybody could, you know, possibly eat that. And of course, Little Debbie sponsored the race. So there were Little Debbie moon pies. And when we were driving up there, you know, they have various sorts of, and I think that's a very, you know, I think it's a very good company in Chattanooga. It seems like the people that work there, you know, were very happy. It's a good company to work for. So I don't want to, you know, bash them too bad, other than the fact that all of their products have eggs, milk, and plenty of oil in them. And, you know, I just see that if a little bit of oil causes such damage to your blood vessel's ability to release nitric oxide and dilate, I just can't see how in consuming the oil can help your endurance activity at all. And especially after you've stressed yourself for, you know, 12 or more hours, you know, to eat a piece of, you know, eat, you know, oil-laden cheese, and my goodness, that's just got to, you know, your system just has to crash after that, I would guess. And I also think it's disappointing, or I think that, you know, we as runners and, you know, endurance athletes think because we burn so many calories, we can eat whatever we want. And I think that ends up giving us, comes back around and gives us a bad name, because, you know, it's like, oh, atrial fibrillation in endurance runners are all, you know, so-and-so dropped dead of a heart attack, but he, you know, he ran marathons. And, you know, everyone's always quick to point out what goes wrong with, you know, runners and endurance athletes, not, you know, obviously not looking at, you know, what percentage versus the general population. But I do think that, you know, the people that end up not feeling well or dropping out because of whatever injury, I do think it's because, you know, there's a lot of cruddy diets out there in endurance athletes.
Sure. And I think a lot of people that look at endurance athletes and plant-based athletes will point out all the flaws, not really flaws, but problems that can happen to any human being on the planet as a reason for them not to change their behaviors, because they really know that those behaviors are not healthy. And so if they criticize and they say, oh, what, he dropped dead at the finish line, when you frequently hear is, look what happened to Jim Fix. Well, you know, that could happen to anybody. And it's just an excuse, I think, so that they don't have to be healthy. They don't have to put in the work, because it is work.
Fantastic. All right, Jennifer. So you're up visiting your daughter then in Daytona, or where are you?
No, I am actually at Venice Beach.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Which is loaded with surfers today, because on this coast we usually don't get waves, but because of the incoming front, there's a lot of waves. And it reminds me of the running community, because all these surfers here know each other. They're very fit. They're very friendly. They've got their families out. So it's really refreshing to see people doing things outside and, you know, being family-oriented.
Yeah, I think that's a very cool thing. And, yeah, I have to applaud you for being at the beach in probably the one of the worst days we've had for several weeks down here.
Well, I spent a lot of the time in the car watching from the car. But you have to, you know, when you have kids, you have to show your interest and sometimes put yourself out there. I remember somebody going out to watching their daughter doing her sculling on a particularly cold day of the year. Does that sound familiar, Dr. Delaney?
Just, yeah, probably just a little familiar. Yeah, I felt bad because they had a race today up in West Virginia, and apparently it was hailing. So it's like I was sorry that I wasn't there, but then I was kind of a little bit glad to be down here in the humidity as well. So.
Yes, because you would have had to have gone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, on that note, I will look forward to seeing you on the road, and I'll let you get back to surfing, and we'll have to see how this experimentation in our running works.
I will look forward to it.
Thanks for your time, Jen. Talk to you later.
Thank you so much, Jamie.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to tonight's podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll be interviewing some additional endurance athletes in the upcoming weeks. I'm also going to interview Dr. Alan Goldhammer from True North Health. So I invite you to keep tuning in. And if you have any questions, I can be reached at jamiedelaney@gmail.com. In addition, I'd love to have a good review on iTunes if you're so inclined. So for now, exercise, be healthy, and be plant-powered.